You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Wednesday morning. Mike McNamara in on for a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network, on what's going to be a great day for All Marine Radio, because we're going to do a public event here in Jacksonville. So excited to do that. But a sad day. Three Marines killed in Afghanistan. So it's always a reminder, as I've heard said many times in my life, that freedom isn't free, and certainly a sad day for the Marine Corps when we lose people. So our thoughts and prayers are with three different families, and. So just sad stuff. Good Wednesday morning to you. We're going to go do post-traumatic winning here in a little bit over at the Base Theater again. And then after we do that tonight, probably about 5:45, we will head over to the USO in Jacksonville, which is the longest-running USO that's been continuously open in the world. Yeah, how about that? There you go. So we'll head over there, and excited to share post-traumatic winning and a little bit of the culture of the Marine Corps, at least, you know, a view of the culture of the Marine Corps. Or how at least I think our culture looks at dealing with trauma. So it'll be interesting. It'll be exciting. And so I'm excited to do that. So that'll happen. And have to thank the one and only Katie Beasley, who's been a huge help in setting them all up. There's been some sponsors, and you'll hear about them tomorrow. But there's been some sponsors that have set it up. So, very much looking forward to tonight and meeting the people that are interested in trauma. So it's always you can imagine, very flattering that people would come out, and now civilians. And speaking of that, I got an email from George Mendoza, who I met in person for the first time last Friday night. In Texas, and so we went to Granbury to do it, and he wrote me the nicest letter. Whenever I get that stuff, I always say, man, where's my mom when I need her to be alive? Something good, man. Corporal Punishment Kathleen, she'd be happy reading that letter. So I just wanted to say thank you to George for his gracious letter. And so it goes. And so we'll do another version of that tonight. And so excited, because one thing that never gets old is sharing the truth, touching people's lives, and changing them for the better. And setting that in motion. So anyway, so exciting day. I've been looking forward to today for a while. And so again, a lot of hard work. Just getting word out to people to come and hear a different way of looking at trauma. And the more I look at it, you know, to me it's the only way. Because the best you can do if you medicate and if you talk about it is what? Can you go to a good place with that? I mean, maybe you can go to a not so bad place with that, but I think that's about as good as it gets. The only way to convert traumatic experiences to the good is to share them and give of yourself. As a matter of fact, somebody wrote me an email the other day and who saw what I did and said that I didn't, you know, that you don't offer anything to Barnado Simpson. Right? So Barnado Simpson heard what you're doing. You don't offer him anything. And then he said the only way is through religion, organized religion. And I haven't had the chance to respond to him, but I've thought about it. And I know that that's not true. And here's what I will say when I get a chance to write, that what I would offer to Barnado Simpson is this, exactly what I offered everybody else. The only way that you can convert your trauma, whether you are the victim or whether you are the perpetrator. And at Mely, Barnado Simpson, I would argue, was both a victim and a perpetrator. So, he was a victim of the worst leadership in the war in Vietnam. And not just from his company commander, but from all his subordinates, officer, staff, NCO, and NCO, long before that order got to a 20-year-old PFC. So what I would offer him is the only course left for you is to tell the truth and to change other people's lives. And, you know, to that end, I think he attempted to do that. And because the interviews, he could have said no to the interview. But those forums tended not to be as interactive. And I think were he alive today, I would certainly offer to have him come do post-traumatic winning with me. Because there is nothing that you can do about what's in the rearview mirror. The only thing you can affect is what's in the windshield. And so do that. Do that. Tell your story. Tell the truth. If you need to apologize, then apologize. But that's as good as it gets. Changing other people's lives and telling them, don't do what I did. Don't go down that road. The other course of action is you can attempt to, you know, live with it, put it in the closet, not go near it. Tends not to work. Tends not to be real effective. So, anyway. So, on that note, yeah, I've had that in my head. So, it's a single course of action. Share your pain. Don't be afraid of the truth. And know that your story will probably affect somebody else's life to the good. Somebody else who's struggling with decisions they've made. Somebody else who has been the perpetrator, who did something wrong. What can I do to make this go away? It's not going away. The truth is, it ain't going away, ever. You're going to live with this. And the only thing you can do is convert it to the good. Convert to the good, because you'll never talk it into a good place. And if you try to medicate it to a good place, all you're going to do is make yourself numb. So, yeah, how about that for a light opening here on a Wednesday morning? Anyway, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. It's Wednesday. Sadly dedicated to three Marines who lost their lives in Afghanistan. To their families, just know that our thoughts and prayers are with you and with them, and that we will never forget their courage or their sacrifice the rest of our lives.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night? Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we got to check the weather. And then you're going to hear from Alex Hetherington and Mike Regan. We'll do the news after hearing from both of them. Marine Corps South Expo going on here in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, the home of the 2nd Marine Division and the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force. So you'll hear from them shortly. Currently sunny and 62 in Quantico. Sunny and 69 at Camp Lejeune. Could be a nice day. Clouds in 67 in Granbury. Sunny in 50. It's cooled off in 29 Palms. Sunny in 43 at Pendleton. Okinawa, clouds in 68. Ramadi, partly sunny and 83 in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in the city of Marja, it is cloudy in 84. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is sunny and 59. Looking for a high today of 77 degrees. Nice. 73 tomorrow and 74 on Friday. Let us look at your weather. And when we come back, Mike Regner, Alex Hetherington will join us first. Then Mike Regner will join us. And then we'll come back and do a little bit of news. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue on a Wednesday morning, broadcasting live from Jacksonville, North Carolina, the home of 2MEF and the storied 2nd Marine Division of the United States Marine Corps. Also going to be the home for the next couple days, starting tomorrow, actually tonight, of the Marine South Expo. And joining me, man you've met before, who does this for a living, and his name is Alex Hetherington. So, Alex, first of all, good morning. Welcome to North Carolina. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Good. I had a little hard time hearing you over the boss man singing there.
All right. Well, we'll kill the boss, man, and then that should hopefully clear everything up. Are you okay now?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks.
All right. What first of all, the first expo I've been to in a while was out on the West Coast. Is there a difference between? Wait. Before I ask you that question, we'll come back to that question. Tell everybody what's going on this week, right? Where they can find information. And about the expo, and let's get the basics out there.
Sure thing. Well, it's the Marine South Expo. It takes place on Thursday, April 11th, and Friday the 12th, and it's in the Getchy Memorial Fieldhouse parking lot. Exact location information is available at the Marine Military Expo's website. If you Google Marine Military Expo's, it'll come right up, and then there's three tabs at the top for our three shows. You already alluded briefly to one, which is the Marine West Expo at Camp Pendleton in February. This is the next in the series, Marine South at Camp Lejeune, and then we have Modern Day Marine at Quantico in September. The great thing about South is that it's centrally located. The Getchy Fieldhouse is on the Q Boulevard. It's right near the, the Holcomb traffic circle by the base headquarters there. So it's a great setup for an expo. And that's what, one of the things we love about being here at Camp Lejeune.
Yeah, the signs are already up, just so you know. I don't know if you've taken a drive, but the signs are up on base, so people, I'm sure, are looking for you. Talk about what goes on tonight and then what goes on Thursday and Friday.
Absolutely. So, actually, you're right. I mean, the events really do kick off tonight. We have the 2MF dinner at the Marston Pavilion, and that sort of starts things off. That's at 6 p.m., and it's... Undersecretary of the Navy Hob Foley, the Honorable Mr. Foley, is I think the guest of honor for that. And then tomorrow morning we kick off the expo. It starts with a commander's preview at 8:30 to 9:45, and then 9:45 we do the opening ceremony, and the 2MF Command General Robert Hedlund is Lieutenant General Hedlund is the guest of honor, military guest of honor. So he'll cut the ribbon, make some remarks, cut the ribbon, open the expo with the Marine Corps League National Commandant Wendell Webb at 10 a.m. And then the expo will run, until 5 p.m. And then we'll move over to the Paradise Point Officers Club, for a mixer event, informal mixer event, no charge. All are welcome. I have some complimentary beverages, and it's to benefit the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, and it's also we're doing in conjunction with the Marine for Life program. So, I mean, if you're a Marine who's going to be transitioning anytime soon, it's a great opportunity to come out and do some networking with over 100 exhibitors in the defense industry that are here for the expo. Love to see you for that. And then on Friday, we start early at 7 a.m. We have from 7 to 9, we're doing what's we call Warrior Day. And that's happening at the Liversedge football field, which is on the other side of the field house from the expo. We're going to have Combat Logistics Battalion 26, Lieutenant Colonel McKinney and his Marines will be out there, about 300 Marines, and we're going to do some PT, what Sergeant Major Barrett is going to be leading the PT, the 17th Sergeant Major Marine Corps, Sergeant Major Barrett retired, and he calls it medieval PT. And he hasn't told us exactly what it all entails. So there's room for other Marines too if you wanted to come out and participate. It's a complimentary T-shirt involved, and it's good, come out in PT gear and we'll do some PT. And then after that, there's some different training stations. We've got four training stations. We've got Laser Shot. We'll have their sort of marksmanship simulator out there. We'll have the JLTV out there from PEO Land Systems. So come check out what the JLTV is all about, the follow on to the Humvee. And a couple other exhibitors. We'll have the M3 Kirkenstoffer coilless rifle placing small. We'll have a class on that, an opportunity to use the procedure trainer they have on base, and a couple others. And then in the show, we're just going to wrap up with some remarks from Sergeant Major Gene Overstreet, who's the retired 12th Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. So he's going to conclude with some some thoughts on history and tradition in the Marine Corps. And then we're going to roll into our second day of the show, so 10 a.m. To 2 p.m. on Friday the 12th, the expo will be open. And then actually, one of the big draws in my mind is, our briefing center. We have some presentations going on Thursday and Friday. And UMAC will be, you're our sort of our master ceremonies and be introducing our speaker. So, and also giving your presentation. So we appreciate you doing that.
A post-traumatic winning, man. Playing everywhere.
That's right. Play once a day at the Marine, you get it on Thursday and Friday at the Marine South Expo. So.
Got it. What, so as this, the obviously, the modern day Expo is in D.C. is your biggest show, but as I understand it, because of the proximity to D.C. and this is a bigger show than the South Show on the West Coast. Is that true? And somebody feed me a line. Tell me about this show.
Sure, I'll give you some differences in terms of this show is very similar in size and character to the Marine West Expo at Camp Pendleton. You know, we call the Pendleton and the Lejeune show our end user shows because really the draw is our exhibitors are here and we have over 100 exhibitors. They're from various, Marine Corps supporting, industries. I mean, they manufacture, they're weapons manufacturers. They are, they're clothing and uniform manufacturers and the like. And also, simulation, and training experts and things like that. So, but what they want is that it's a great opportunity for them to talk to MOS proficient Marines, the Marines that are out there to pull, that are in the, fleet Marines who are out there doing the mission. They've got the latest information and are the most proficient. So, they're excited to talk to Marines. So the big draw is to have as many Marines come to the show as possible. And we try to keep it fresh and interesting for them. And the great thing about the Lejeune show is it is, the units are more compact, more centrally located on base than they are at Pendleton. So we generally get a better draw, a larger number of Marines that comes through the show, which is fantastic. But in terms of size, and setup, it's very similar to Marine Corps West. So it'll look familiar to UMAC. And then, the one at Quantico, we do Modern Day Marine, which is a very large show. It's, Marine Corps Systems Command works closely with us on that show. We do a lot of outreach, and they do a lot of outreach to industry at the show. A lot of briefings to industry talking about, their advanced planning, and their needs for information and future programs and, platforms that are going to be developed to support the Marine Corps. So that's a large show. I mean, that's about three times the size of West to South in terms of exhibitors. Over 400 at times for Modern Day Marine. So it's a much bigger show. But again, the character is a little different on that one because it's very leadership heavy being up there in D.C. Here, what we love is it's sort of a grassroots show. It's an opportunity to talk to Marines of all occupations, backgrounds, and ranks.
Talk to me about this show. So the show, if people haven't been, how much of the show is outside the tent? How much of the show is inside the tent? And what will they see when they show up? So you show up, you see the big white tent. Obviously, there's a big event, but, are all the vendors in there or some outside? What does it look like as I walk up?
Sure. I mean, what it looks like is a very large white tent. Taking up about half of the Getchy Fieldhouse parking lot. And most of our exhibitors are inside there, are indoors, especially for this show. Sometimes we have some outdoor exhibitors, but this for this show, principally PEO Land Systems is the only, outdoor exhibitor, and they have a couple of vehicles out front. And then, we have a briefing center, which is, actually an HDT, CO, Combat Operations Center type tent, which will be, in the grass, facing the main expo tent. And that's our briefing center. That's Matt, where you'll be located. And we have, several other briefers throughout the show. So those are the two
pieces, main pieces, and then the registration area is a small tent that will be near the main entrance to the large expo tent.
Got it. What about, now, I don't want to screw this interview up, but one of the cool things I saw at the West Expo was the replacement for the Amtrak. Is that going to be around or not?
I'm afraid it's not this time. We didn't, usually, you know, in past shows we've had that, we've had the EFB, and we've had, you know, we've had actually the P-19, which is the new air station firefighting truck. But this time we just have the joint light tactical vehicle.
Got it.
It's the only vehicle that TLM has brought this time.
Got it. No, and I'm sure the fact that it was at Pendleton had something to do with the test director being out there and whatnot.
That's right. Right. Yes.
Right. But I'll tell you what, I'd never seen it before. And so one of the cool things about the expo is that the stuff that you've read about, technology that you've read about, sunglasses you've read about, drones you've read about, there's all kinds of new stuff, physical fitness applications, that you may or may not even read about yet. All of it is at the show. And I will tell you this, I mean, I was really surprised, actually, Colonel Steve Arms was presenting before me. He was talking about force fitness and where it's all going, and I had him on the program, and I was blown away, you know, that where the Marine Corps is going with fitness, trainers in battalions, right? What the hell? Trainers in battalions, and then after that, you know, he talked about wearables. And that, you know, data from wearables being communicated to companies so that you could see preemptively what was going on. And when somebody's, you know, the things that get reported by those wearable devices, you know, you would take preemptive action as opposed to waiting till, you know, you found out about it in some way, shape, or form, more than likely an injury. And so it's, you're like, whoa, what's going on with that? That's pretty amazing. So there's so much cool new stuff that you read about it. Some you may not have read about it, but it's a great place to check it out. What do you have any favorites? Are you a sunglasses guy? Are you a gloves guy? Are you a drone guy? What do you like to check out, Alan?
Well, actually, you know, like, I just do want to touch on the fact that Colonel Arms is going to be presenting at Marine South on Friday at 9:15 for an hour. So he'll be giving that same presentation he did at West. I think he's updated a little bit. And it's also a great opportunity for all you folks out there, all you Marines who work in the S3 and have to administer the PFT and the CFT, because he's going to be talking about, you know, changes and potential updates to those programs as well. So yeah, it is fascinating. It's not the old Marine Corps physical fitness program. Things are changing in great ways. So yeah, please come to that if you have time. In terms of the show and what I like, I think the thing that energizes me the most is, you know, we do actually have a lot of nonprofits, foundations and charities that come, to the event and are part of it. And, that's motivating for me, because these are in a lot of cases, you know, volunteer run organizations that do so much to support. They're part of your community, Mac. I mean, they are the heart and soul folks who really, keep the Marine Corps on the right track, support Marines and their families. So, you know, some of the ones that are going to be, at the show this year, the Purple Heart Foundation, I already touched on Marine for Life program will be there, the Semper Fi Fund, Navy Marine Corps Leave, among many others. I mean, fully about 20% of our show are organizations that support, various communities, and activities and caregiving and things for injured, ill, wounded, and families, of Marines. So. That's one of the things I enjoy about, you know, working on the shows. It's not just about gear and equipment. It's about taking care of Marines and their families too. And you know, the other thing, part of the show is it's a lot of the Marine Corps does outreach at the shows too. For example, MARSOC always has a recruiting booth at all the shows, so if you're interested in MARSOC in any way, it's great way to come and just get a little bit familiar with what they might have to offer and how you might be able to join that elite group. So yeah, those are some of the things I enjoy about the show.
Got it. Talk to me about the PT thing, man. That's going to be a big event on Friday morning. Are you going to get out there and whoop it on?
Well, I'm the guy who has to keep time because I'll be on the mic. I'll be on the one MC moving people around the flight deck. But I would love to. I would love to. I don't know if I can. You know, I want to see if I can measure up to start Major Barrett's medieval PT program. No, I promise it'll be fun. I mean, I'd love to see some people out there. It's something where we're trying to make the shows more interactive, and participatory for Marines and really expose them to the new equipment that the Marine Corps, is buying, and that they're going to be seeing, down at the Armory, the Motor Pool, sometime in the near future. Another part of Warrior Day is, Namlich Pally, Gunner Pat Wolhoff, retired G-5. Pat Wolhoff. He's going to be showing these new offensive, defensive, and they're like stackable hand grenades that the Marine Corps Ground Board just approved. So he's going to be giving a demo on. Well, he's going to, not demoing, but he's going to be talking about the different characteristics and employment considerations, stuff like that. So that's another part of Warrior Day.
All right. So the process of showing up and going to see the show, if you're a Marine, active duty Marine, reserve Marine, or retired Marine, talk to me. We talked at the South event about base access and things like that. If you don't have an ID card, you need to go with somebody that does have an ID card, be they a retiree if you want to see the program. And if you're an active duty person, when you show up, do you have to register? Can you just walk in? Talk to us about that.
Sure. So, yes, if you're a Marine in uniform, come on down to the show. There's no need to even register. You can walk right into the expo tent. If you're a Marine and you show up out of uniform in civilian attire, then you just need to stop and get a badge. It takes less than a minute. So we'll just quickly register you, and then you put your badge on, you go in the expo tent, go about your business. If you're, reserve or retired, and so if you have a DOD ID, that's great because of new base access restrictions, that gets you through the front gate, no problem. And then just come on down to the show, and you can register on site. We have on site registration. Prior registration is not essential. And then, if you don't have an ID and you haven't registered, we can still do on-site registration, but, getting through the main gate, you have to come to the Holcomb, main gate visitor center. And we have a Marine Corps League representative, in the visitor center who will sponsor your base access. So you'll get a pass to come on base and then come down to the show and we'll get you registered.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I don't know how visitor centers go. It might be a few minutes. It's not going to be an immediate process, if you haven't already registered. If you are pre-registered for the show, then you've already been vetted by Camp Lejeune, base access folks, by security battalion, then that Marine Corps League rep will have a pass for you and he'll just hand it to that person and then you can go right through the gate, no waiting. But if you haven't, if you haven't gone through that process, if you haven't pre-registered, then he'll spot you on base. But it probably will be at least a 20-minute process from what I understand.
Got it.
So if you bear with us, we'll get you the show.
If you want to see the show and you haven't registered and done some other stuff, you got to stand in line, man. You got to wait. So the juice is normally worth the squeeze. In terms of people attending the dinner that happens tonight, are those tickets already sold? Can they still come to the dinner? What's the story on that?
That's a good question. What I would refer you to is the Marine Corps Association and Foundation. If you Google Marine Corps Association and Foundation, their website will come up, and then if you go into the events tab, it'll give you all the contact information for you know, Leanne Mitchell and her folks who put all the dinners together. And I imagine there still might be a few tickets available, but you'd have to call them and see. And that's all on their website, the Marine Corps Association Foundation website. The dinner, you know, we try to align them so it's a smooth sequence of events. But the Marine Corps Association Foundation 2MEF dinner is sort of, it's a separately administered event from our expo.
Got it. All right, what haven't I been smart enough to ask you that you want people to know?
Say again.
What haven't I been smart enough to ask you, Alex, that you want people to know?
Well, Matt, now that we've done this a couple times, you got down to science pretty much.
That was
well orchestrated. You led me all the way through it. You even saved the important stuff for last. You know how to get to the show. I would have forgotten to tell you all that.
It's actually a trick question, Alex. I just always have to see if you go for it. That's the right answer, though, Matt. You've asked me everything, of course. All right. So, anything? No further information to pass.
I would say what I would encourage people to do is we'd love to have you for the opening ceremony on Thursday. You know, if you can come out for about 20 minutes, it's a short 15-minute ceremony. Starts at 9:45, it's a great opportunity to sort of meet and mingle with the base leadership. With Brigadier General Watson, MCI East CG, and then General Hedlund, the 2MEF CG, and their staffs. That's my favorite part of the show, you know, because we have the Marine Corps leadership come out and sort of meet all of the industry folks that are here to put the show on. It's the community coming together. So that's an exciting time. That's the best part of the show, in my opinion. If you're going to see one part of it, that's the part to come and be part of.
Got it. All right. Alex Hetherington, our guest this morning on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. Alex, tell everybody what your official title is.
My official title is show director for the Marine Military Expos.
There you have it. All right. He's the big shot. He gets blamed for everything that goes wrong here in the next few days. So it's all good till it goes wrong, and then where's Alex? So anyway, well, good luck,
Jack.
Good luck, Alex. Don't screw it up.
That's very good advice, Jack. No doubt, and I'll try not to. But I'm sort of the organizer, but our leader is Major General Mike Regner, Marine Corps retired, who I'm hoping you'll get to hear from a little bit later on today.
There you have it, the one and only. Whirling Dervish himself, Major General Michael Regner, husband of Mary Regner, the true force in that whole event. So at some point we will cross paths with Regner and get his thoughts on what's upcoming. Alex, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck to you, and I will see you. I'll either see you later today, or I will see you first thing in the morning tomorrow.
That's it. Sounds great, Mac.
All right.
I'll be around, and thanks for this opportunity.
You bet. That is Alex Hetherington here on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Don't touch that dial. More of this fine program coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue. But it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are into bumpers for radio music. That's a good one. Just the guitars. But speaking of good things, Mike Regner joins me. And first of all, welcome to North Carolina. How are you?
Well, I'm right here with you, Matt. Looking forward to talking to a lot of great Americans.
All right, all right. Now, how much time do you get to spend in North Carolina? Welcome back.
Well, I got as much time as you need. My time is not important right now. I think that most importantly, we need to take care of some phone chargers and or their family members, and I think that's my priority for the day.
All right. What? Now, you've already been up running in the gym at 5:30, driving around your red Mustang. You feeling good about yourself?
Yeah, in fact, I went to Quantico to get a haircut before I came down here to Campus U, and I said, medium, you know, just a medium trim, and now I look like Lieutenant Regner again.
You know what? Lucky for you, it'll grow back. It always does. But you know what? Oh, you know, haircuts for Marines, I think, are always funny because, you know what, unless you're going to your barber that knows how to cut your hair, it's a roll of the dice, right? And if, when the guy screws it up and you look at it, you're like, shit, here we go again.
You know, you're right. You know, what's just really funny is you tip them anyway.
I don't. I'm like, no, this is not what I wanted, man. Why did you do this? And they're like, what? And plus, there's nothing funnier that when somebody is when a Marine gets a bad haircut and they walk through the doors and everybody looks like, oh, what's up, motivator?
That is so true, Mac. Only the Marine Corps, when somebody gets, you know, a weird haircut or falls down, kind of gets hurt a little bit, only all the Marines are laughing. So I did give it up.
Bad haircuts are the best. We had one of our air officers who fancies himself as really smart and really cool. He got a bad haircut in Afghanistan. He comes walking to COC, and the whole place stopped. And then one of the Marines went, motivator! And that's, so people would walk in, and that's what, you heard that for about a week. Motivator! He hated it, which is why we did it, but it was hilarious. Nothing more entertaining than a bad haircut. And again, you're not really having a good time until somebody gets hurt, right?
That's it.
And as you said,
it's like what you said to me. Hey Mac, watch this.
Exactly. And you don't want him to get hurt seriously, but come on, they're always funny stories, you know. So it's all good. It's all good. So you got a bad haircut rolling around in a red Mustang, and nobody believed you're a general officer when you're parking one of those stalls, right?
That's how my day started.
you glare at him like, well, hey, what are you looking at, devil dog? Sorry, whoever you are. All right, talk to me about the Marine South Expo. What are you fired up for with this event?
All right, Mac. Let me first, I just want to say this. The Morning News released the names of the three hard-charging Marines that passed on in IED improvised explosive device under their armor 2 days ago. Corporal Robert Hendricks of Locust Valley, New York, Sergeant Benjamin Hines of York, Pennsylvania, and Staff Sergeant Christopher Sleutman of Newark, Delaware, from the 21st Marine Regiment, 4th Marine Division, Mar 4 Res. And I just wanted to say that, you know, nothing's more important than our Marines and their family members, and to lose three Marines in defense of our nation and in defense of Afghanistan is, in fact, crushing. But we're gonna continue to honor those family members, honor those Marines they serve beside. And so I just wanted to pass on my condolences to the family members and or Marines that knew these individuals, or just as a fellow Marine leader, the loss of life, the most precious thing we have in life, and you are a huge believer in that. But back to your point, Mac, you're right, the Marine South Expo has a lot of different technologies that try to defeat improvised explosive devices. We get better and better at pre-detonating. We get better and better at the right types of armor under our vehicles and the protective clothing and protective headgear, which is frequently displayed at these expos to protect in these improvised explosive devices. So I just wanted to honor those three to pay the ultimate sacrifice to answer your initial question, Mac.
All right, bud. I talked about it earlier. It sucks, and there's no way to sugarcoat it. But we all saw that in the news the other day, and you're just waiting to find out who it is. And I always, you know, would think about after those things happen, you know, there's a family someplace, in this case three families, that has no idea what's happened yet, and there's an electronic thunderbolt that's headed around the planet, you know, for them. And I was with this last weekend. I was with Kilo Company, or Lima Company, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, the group that fought in Fallujah in 2004. And I remember we got Marines killed on Thanksgiving that year. And I just thought that was so wrong, right? And we're ahead of them, right? So we're, I don't know, 9-10 hours ahead of them in Iraq or whatever the hell it is. And after it happens, you're thinking, you know, there's a family that has no idea, and on Thanksgiving Day, they're going to see somebody come up to their door, and it just doesn't seem right or fair. And my thoughts always go to that when I hear this news, between the flash, right, and then the bang, you know, there's this space of, you know, what is getting ready to happen and people who don't know. And it's just, and it's stuff you never get over. It's stuff you never, ever, ever can get over, and it's just, it doesn't get easier. And so, anyway, I appreciate your thoughts, Mike. I appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely, Mac. It's, you know, when we talk about the brotherhood or sisterhood, and when you talk about post-traumatic winning, you win as a team, you're right, it's always going to be a spot on your soul of remembrance and pain, but when you share it with your buddies, you got your buddies with you, which you always talk so strongly about, because, you know, there's no man is an island. You've got to do it as a team, as a family, whether your family is your fire chief family or your buddies that you hit the deployment cycle with. I'm so proud of the way you've educated the Marine Corps on the strength of the team and the strength of the pack and the fact that it's winning, and you can win through the hard times, and you've been a master at that. Thank you.
No, Mike, it's I've been here all week doing it with the 2nd Marine Division, and now kind of roll into Marine West. But when I was with Lima Company, you know, the sad reality for a lot of, you know, combat companies is that they lose more guys once they come home than they do in combat. And it's just the most frustrating thing. You know, I saw a Gold Star mother, her only son, was killed in that fight in Fallujah in 2004. And I give her a hug, and she smiled, and she said, "Nobody hugs me like Marines hug me." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "They hug me strong, and I can feel it." You know, she said, "It's just the warmest feeling I have." And so, but I was watching her, Mike, after the memorial service. There was a table with all the Marines that had been killed there, and their pictures, and there was poppies placed on the pictures, and she was rearranging the poppies so that she could take a picture of the table. One of those pictures is her only child, her son. And I just stood there and watched it, you know, and just, you know, the love of a parent, the undying love of a parent, you know, to come, they live in Florida, to come to Waco, to be with it was the first time they'd gotten together since 2004, so 15 years. And then during the memorial service, there was a young, he's probably 9 or 10, and his father had taken his own life a couple years ago. And just to watch him fight through that thing, you know, just, I guess, further resolved that we've got to get better at this, right? We've got to be there better for each other, because watching that little guy, just heartbreaking. Heartbreaking that darkness is so black that we would leave that in our wake. And so children are not normally invited to those kind of reunions done by the Warrior Reunion Foundation with James Ferguson, who runs it, former Marine artillery officer, and they do great things. But his mom said, you know, he has 50 uncles, but he doesn't know them very well. And they say, call me anytime, but if he's going to call him, he needs to know him a little bit. And so she asked, could I bring him? And Ferg and his crew, they were like, yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it was just wonderful to see them. But, you know, again, like I said before, just furthers your resolve, you know, puts more steel in your spine that we've got to get better at this. We've got to get better at this. And this latest event is just another reminder that it ain't going away. and that we've got to face it head on, right? Set our jaw and be there for each other. And so I appreciate you bringing that up. That stuff's so fresh in my mind now and so brutal to watch. And yet we've got to step into that breach and we've got to be better and we've got to be there for each other. So anyway, just a few thoughts.
Yeah, those are good thoughts, Mac. Right. I appreciate you being with all of our Chargers this week.
No, I'll tell you what, Mike, it's a privilege to be invited to talk to them and to meet them and to see what they're doing now and all the great things they're doing. You know, now they're businessmen. Before they were PFCs and Lance Corporals, right, hooking and jabbing in Alfajor in November of 2004. And now, they were 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old young dudes. Now they're 35, 36, 37. They're grown-ass men doing, with families. And so, it's great to hear their stories and still, though, how important that bond is to them. It's good. There's no warmer place. There's no warmer place on the planet than when you're with Marines and you just feel that warmth of the way we do it. In fact, I was watching them get ready for the memorial service, right? And they're setting up chairs. And there was a crease in the concrete, right, for the expansion joint. And even though they're all out of the Marine Corps, right, they're lining up those chairs relative to that crease, right? And then somebody comes behind them and moves about a quarter inch. I said, you know what? Chicken shit Marine Corps, man. It never goes away. But it was awesome, right? You're with your people. We're doing our chicken shit stuff. Because that we pay attention to that stuff, man. The color guards out there from, I can't remember what reserve unit, Ordnance Maintenance Company, their first sergeant's there. They're all in their blues. He's rehearsing their ass off. Do you know Sergeant Major Jim Booker?
I don't know him very well, but I know who he is, yeah.
Right. So Booker's was there because he wanted to come see me, and so he's standing there watching and goes, we're going to wear their asses out. And then he smiles and he says, but that's the way we do it. And so, it was just, it's a little bit of heaven on earth being around Marines, so it was cool. So anybody in the area, the chance to do the same thing, to be around Marines, what's going on in the world of the Marine Corps, from physical fitness to technology to you can hear post-traumatic winning. So what are you excited about seeing this week?
I went through the whole expo yesterday to look at all the different vendors and all the exhibitors. What's kind of exciting tonight, and I started off with a memorial service there for three Marines that lost their lives, but I would say, Mac, I'm always excited about technology, but when I walked through yesterday, I saw five different booths that I think they're important to me when I reflect back, because I'm doing a memorial service with 2nd Battalion 8th Marines, and I know you really had the main memorial service. And so for folks that might be listening out there, when I went through the expo yesterday, I saw the streamlight, and I saw the different types of medical new technologies from Florida, and I've seen some other ways that people are using new technology to determine the gap. Traumatic brain injury, but I really like seeing the Women Marine Association, Marine Corps League Association, the Semper Fi Fund, the Marine Corps Association and Foundation, and the Young Marines. Now, that's just about five nonprofits that I looked at, because yesterday I was thinking about those heart charges that lost their lives, and I thought to myself, my son's going to take a battalion out of Camp Pendleton, one forward in June, and one of the things that I've imparted in him is always know that there are organizations that are much more trained and talented and aware of the needs of our Marines and family members. And although you're a hard charger, Mike Regner, and all your lieutenants and staff NCOs are great, and they're the initial point of entry into a concerning event, always seek professionals. So, Mac, it's kind of a different kind of answer. But when I know that young men and young women are on the line and they might need somebody to talk to, I got to tell you, Semper Fi Fund has been taking care of Marines and family members for quite a while, and these other organizations have as well. So my first shot at it, Mac, is those individual organizations that are very trained in knowing how to listen. The Marines, we think we know how to listen, we think we know how to lead, and we damn sure know how to lead in combat. in stressful organizational times. However, I always say, continue to seek others that might also be aware. You know, Mac, Marines don't always share. They don't always open up. But they do open up sometimes when they don't think it's threatening. What you show me a captain or a gunny or a staff sergeant that has had a traumatic event, you know, are they really going to open up the first time they speak with another Marine? Sometimes they do, but sometimes it's got to be a non-threatening environment. Every different individual has a different touchstone to open up. And that's a long answer, but I like to see other organizations that I can rely on to help those that are in need, and I saw that yesterday.
No, Mike, that's a great point. You know, I think so often we get caught up in looking at the technology and whatnot, but you know, the organizations that have that stepped into so many people's lives when, you know, traumatic brain injury meant somebody had to go here, or and you know, here's another thing, you know, there is not one course of treatment for a traumatic brain injury because every traumatic brain injury is different. And so, you know, you had spouses flying around the country to develop a plan, you know, of treatment. And a lot of times organizations like Semper Fi Fund, Travis Manion Foundation, those organizations financed all of that. And there's people that have recovered and families that are together today as families. It would not have been that way were it not for these organizations. And I completely agree with what you said. You know, as you meander through the exhibits, do not pass up the opportunity to say hi, to get a business card, and to talk to them, because it may not be you that needs their help. It may be a friend of yours or a subordinate of yours or a senior of yours. And you can step into that breach and you can help touch those wires and make those things happen. So I agree. Sometimes we overlook them, in the midst of running to newer and flashier things. But let me tell you never appreciate assistance in your life like you do when you actually need it. And somebody sticks their hand out and says, hey man, grab my hand. I can help you. And so well said.
Yeah.
What about, are you going to be PTing on Friday morning? Motivated?
Yeah, I'm gonna get my Liberty card. My Brian is down here giving me instructions of where to go and what to do.
No.
But that PT, I don't run. I do the elliptical.
No. I'm talking about with Sergeant Major Overstreet. And
are you?
I mean, now that you got your motivator haircut, are you gonna get out there and motivate a little bit?
I might have to do that. I'm hoping you'll join me if I do.
No, I'll be in bed.
Hey, let me tell you something.
I don't have a motivator. I don't have the haircut. You got the haircut. You got the PT.
I know. You're twisted steel and sex appeal. I got all that crap. You know. Hey, you know another neat thing is how we film Marines. Hey, young man, get in there. Get in there. Get your free pair of socks or get your free flashlight. You know, that's or your free pair of gloves. You know, whether it's Streamlight doing the lights or it's one of the sock companies. Or it's show of gloves or some of the new Bluetooth technology that are on weapon systems.
Right.
You basically can talk to your weapon system and send a radio frequency out to higher adjacencies support you. But I really like the fact I tell folks all the time, Marines want something when they go to an expo. I'm sorry, they do. So honestly, nobody goes to socks or gloves like Marines. Every time you turn around, we've got different gloves, different knee pads, different boots, different socks. I love it. You can see all that good stuff, Mac, but if I do get out there at PT, I'll have the latest and the greatest high-speed tension that's available. I can promise you that.
And then, when your career ends, now you find all these socks, and you're like, where the hell did all these socks come from, man? I could never find two that matched any time I was in the Marine Corps, man. I've got like hundreds of socks. What the hell? Will you be at the dinner tonight? What are you doing tonight?
I will. That's the Marine Corps Association and Foundation dinner. You know, it's so neat to hear one of the commanding generals here on base give a chance to speak to all the Marines and staff NCOs that are fortunate enough, NCOs and non-NCOs, to go to these Marine Corps Associations. I love going to those dinners because it's a reunion. Not only do you get to know the latest you know, you're going to know a little bit about what's going on in the world from the commander, but he's also going to, they always talk about some of the latest technologies that are going on. So you get the operational pitch, but at the same time, you might hear, well, sir, tell us about this new Commandant. Tell us what General Berger is going to bring to the game. He used to be at McCitic, and he knows technology, and he knows science and technology. The S&T director. So I think you really get a good awareness, not just from the guest speaker, but you also get to rub elbows with guys you haven't seen in 10 or 20 years or since last year. So it's a family reunion when you go to an association and foundation dinner.
You know, can I tell you a quick story about the Commandant? The new one, General Berger. I meet him in Fallujah in 2006. He's CO of 8th Marine Regiment, and I was there with RCT5 and Colonel Larry Nicholson. And so he's in 1MEF as I get ready to retire, and through a series of circumstances and a mistake I made, I wound up in front of him in a administrative disciplinary hearing. Yeah, and so he adjudicated that. Now, the next time I see him is in February at the General Officers Summit. I'm doing post-traumatic winning, right? So there's a stage. Yeah. I'm doing who do you think sitting at the table, dead center in front of the stage? General Berger. So the whole thing goes, and it goes great, right? And we do the question and answer thing, and Commandant asks a question. Ellen Dunford asks a question. Sergeant Major makes some comments. The thing wraps up. And I said, before we end, on a personal note, and I looked down at General Berger, so the last time I saw you was not really the circumstances I would have liked to further our relationship, and I just want you to know I apologize for my actions, and I appreciate your graciousness. And he smiled, and he nodded at me. He said, don't worry about it. You're obviously on to good things. So, and then we had a nice conversation, but, yeah, General Berger, right? I know him probably too well now, but, no, that's funny. That's funny. So, anyway.
He and his lovely bride, Donna, are going to do great things for the Corps, just like, the good General Miller and Darcy have done. The Corps, you know, we're so fortunate that every different combat brings a little something different. It takes us to a new level in our game. I think he'll do that. So I'm excited.
Well, I need one final thought about this week. People that might be undecided about going, give me a final thought, a message to, if you're undecided about going to the Marine South Expo, what would you tell them?
Okay. Marines, or Marines and or family members, and their civilian Marines, we've always learned in the Marine Corps to continue your education. Every chance you get to be educated. The Marine Expo South shows you some of the latest technologies that can and will, both today and in the future. Some of it's being currently used or tested. You will see what some of the latest technologies are, what some of the latest tools are that our mechanics need, that are some of the aviation type of radio systems are. So if you want to be educated and know and have awareness and take that back to your Marines or your civilian Marines, go to the expo. Spend a little time there. See the latest technologies. See the latest medical technologies that save lives, that can, in fact, like I said earlier, predetermine if, in fact, you are susceptible to any type of injury based on where you've been before. So it's a medical, it's an academic. There are areas there where you can get some type of awareness on if you transition out of the Marine Corps. There are many companies there that hire veterans. So I'm always pushing to get young Marines and even senior Marines the chance to get transitioned, to get a business card, to maybe exchange a resume or something. But you want to know you're good at the infantry, you're good at engineering, you're good at administrative support or mechanics. People there are the type of folks you want to interact with for potential employment, as well as the safety requirements to keep Marines safe in combat or peacetime. So it's a great education, and it's an opportune time for you, if you attend, to see where the future is and where your future is with potential employment and or spouse employment. Thank you.
He's a motivator. He's got a motivated haircut. You're going to be doing some motivated PT at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Mike, always a pleasure to have you on. Give my best to your better half, and I will see you for the next few days. So good hearing your voice again. Thanks for doing this.
Well, Mac, always ready for you. Tell me what you need, and I'll be there for you. Ooh, I'll simplify.
There you have it, Michael Regner. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.